Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
This is This Day Rocks from Vintage Rock Pod. I'm Paul Stevenson. Today is June 3rd, and we start on this day in 1970 when one of the craziest reasons for flying took place. With the BBC refusing to play the Kinks' new single Lola because of its reference to Coca-Cola, I mean brand names not allowed on the Beeb, lead singer Ray Davies had to interrupt the group's tour of the US, get on a flight from New York to London to enter a studio to re-record that one line. But it was actually his second attempt at it too. He had flown home on May 23rd and recorded it, but was unhappy with the outcome. So he flew home again on June 3rd to redo the line too, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola. Now, as the BBC were the only legal radio stations in the UK at the time, it had to be done just so the single could be played. Crazy. On this day in 1967, The Doors released a shortened version of Light My Fire, from 6 minutes and 50 on the album to a more radio-friendly 2 minutes 52. It worked a treat, went to number one in the US. And speaking of number ones, on this day in 1989, Queen's 13th album, The Miracle, hit the top spot in the UK, while on this day in 1972, Jethro Tull's concept album, Thick as a Brick, complete with a fictional newspaper, St. Cleve Chronicle and Linwell Advertiser insert, hit number one in the US. On this day in 1972, artists including Joe Cocker, Richie Havens and the Beach Boys all appeared at the Crystal Palace Garden Party in London, while in 2002, Paul McCartney and Aretha Franklin were among the acts who performed at Queen Elizabeth II's Golden Jubilee Party in London. But for today's main show, we're going to honour a breakthrough female rocker. Yes, born on this day in 1950 was Susie Quattro. The American singer, bass player, songwriter and actress scored a string of huge hits in the UK, Europe and Australia in the 1970s, including number ones, but failed to find the same level of success in her home country. Her career started in a band with some of her sisters before she came to the UK after being spotted by record producer Mickey Most. Susie wore a leather jumpsuit most of the time, and at the height of the glam rock era, she really stood out with her low-slung bass and chugging songs. She had number one hits in the UK with Can the Can in 1973 and Devil Gate Drive in 1974, as well as other top 10 hits like 48 Crash, If You Can't Give Me Love, and The Wild One. Happy birthday, Susie. You are 73 years old today. Now, with her early success, she paved the way for many females to come through the rock and roll world, and we talked about that when I interviewed her on episode 10 of Vintage Rock Pod.
You did blaze a trail for women and other female rock stars to come through, and you probably didn't think that at the time because you were doing what was best for you and you were pushing yourself forward. But looking back, I mean, your documentary came out last year, your What's an Old documentary, and you just look at the names of the people that hold you up in such high regard. It's incredible. Kathy Valentine, the Go-Go's, and Debbie Harry, and Joan Jett, and Sherry Curry, and many, many more. I mean, how does it feel to be recognized and lauded by such incredible female musicians?
Well, I mean, I did know through the years because, you know, we always talk and I always had my compliments, but seeing it on the big screen in a documentary is a totally different experience. And you really, it's actually just very humbling. You know, you go, oh my God, she said what? You know, wow. It is. It brought a tear to my eye more than once, I have to say. So it's a nice feeling to know that I influenced so many people. I'm so glad I did because Well, I always say I kicked the door down because I didn't see the door. And that's my character. I didn't see the door. I can't pretend I did it on purpose. All I was doing was being me. That's all. No compromising. This is me.
And it's brilliant in terms of your image and everything as well, because is it true that all the leather and everything was you, and Mickey didn't want the leather to start with, and you were saying, no, this is me, this is what I want, and obviously that became your iconic look.
Well, I mean, I still wear it now, so how right was I? You know, the jumpsuit wasn't my idea, although I have to say in the Pleasure Seekers, quite a few of our outfits were jumpsuits. So I've actually been wearing jumpsuits a long time. I find them great because I'm a very energetic performer and I don't need to worry about anything. Everything stays in place. So I love them. So when Mickey finally agreed to the leather, he was against. And then it was him. He went, okay, leather. And then he said, how about a jumpsuit? I said, great. And I tell this story a million times. I honestly, may the good Lord strike me down. I had no idea it was going to be sexy. Not until I got the photos back. And then I went, oh, who's that? Because I don't lead with the looks card and I don't lead with sex appeal. Mm-hmm. That's actually not who I am. All my thing is about take me serious. You know, take me serious. If I look nice, okay, I look nice. If I'm a pinup, I'm a pinup. But it doesn't filter in as reality. All I really care about is the music and the entertainment and the respect.
And I'll be back tomorrow with more On This Day rock goodness. So until then, take care.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.